explain exactly what we're doing and how we as Highland Baptist Church participates in this specific service. And so you have heard it said before that there are some people, and maybe many of you who grew up like this, you've heard it said that maybe you've been a part of a church that practiced closed communion. A closed communion or closed Lord's Supper is something that basically says that we as a church family, we want this to be special as a church family. And so for you to participate in our Lord's Supper or our communion, you need to be a member of our church and you need to be in good standing. And so we would celebrate that together just as the individual body of Christ. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are other churches that say we practice an open communion. And so what we want to do is anybody who comes into our services, they are free and welcome to participate in the Lord's Supper. And while our church has generally agreed with most of what happens in an open Lord's Supper, it doesn't communicate quite enough what we believe and what we have agreed to as a church. And so what we have said as a church is that we want to practice a close communion. And here's what I mean by that. Number one, we believe that everyone who partakes of the Lord's Supper identifies, it's part of the taking the Lord's Supper is identifying with Christ and identifying with other believers. But we also know that there are likely some who come into a church service who have already professed Christ but aren't yet ready to take the Lord's Supper because there's something in their lives that they just have not settled. And so what we say is we want to practice a close communion. Our communion is open to each and every individual, despite your denominational affiliation. We ask that those who participate, who have given their lives to Jesus, take the moments that we have in this service to reflect on what God has done in our lives. Because Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that we are to examine ourselves. And so I would say to you, as we practice close communion, another thing that I'm going to say is that it is not my responsibility to tell you to take the Lord's Supper or to not take the Lord's Supper. It is an individual decision as we corporately identify together. And so as we look at that, I've thought about where can we participate in Scripture together as we reflect on this. And I really believe that Mark chapter 14 adequately shows us or gives us a picture of Jesus's symbolically putting this idea before his disciples. And so if you have your scripture and you turn to Mark chapter 14, we're going to read just a few verses together. We're going to apply really what the Lord's Supper can mean, the communion can mean in our lives, and then we are going to do what we don't always get to do. We're going to study the word and then we're going to apply it not just in our hearts, but we're going to also symbolically apply this by partaking in the Lord's Supper together. This isn't an ordinary meal. I do remember when I was a child, I had just been baptized. I remember, again, I have told you this, I was dunked as a five-year-old, six-year-old, and I can remember coming out of that baptism, they were having the Lord's Supper that day, and I told my mother, oh, I'm so glad they're having the Lord's Supper. I am hungry. And my mom, she chastised me to say, that's not what this is about. And I'm like, well, a little bit of drink and a little bit of bread doesn't hurt. This meal is a symbolic meal. It can't satisfy you physically, but the effects lingers in your soul. We as Baptists, again, don't do it as regularly as other denominations because what we have said, we don't want this to become too commonplace. Every time we partake together, it should be something special, something that stirs inside of our hearts. It puts us there with Jesus and his disciples. It gives us opportunity to think and reflect of what that day might have been. And then what does that mean for me even right now? So we'll read the scripture together and then we'll apply those things and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper together. Stand as we read God's word together. It says this in Mark chapter 14, verse 22. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. God, we pray just a blessing over the reading of your word. We pray that you would allow us to be in tune with your spirit and you'd help us to understand your heart for this symbolic dinner. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let me just give you a few reasons why we take the Lord's Supper. And again, you could go and read 100 different things that it's symbolic for. And again, the incredible thing about the Lord's Supper is that there are some significant items that certainly we even believe that Jesus meant for it to be symbolic in that way. But there are also things that we take from it as we have taken the Lord's Supper together. And so I just want to identify a few things that I think that we can reflect on as we go through our service together. First, the Lord's Supper is a reminder of redemption. I want to be clear about this morning. I am thankful for redemption. I am thankful for the fact that I have messed up over and over and over again. And maybe I have even pleaded for forgiveness for some people that would say, hey, I don't know that I can do that. But you have never pleaded for forgiveness from Christ and not been given that. Because our Heavenly Father provided a way for us to have redemption, to be saved from our sins. And this is an incredible thing, something that we should always celebrate. Ephesians 1:7 says it like this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We are thankful for the privilege to be able to have that redemption. We're thankful for the privilege of understanding who we are in Christ. We're thankful that God has given us this redemption so that we can know who we are in Christ Jesus. We also know that the Lord's Supper is a reminder of a representation. A representation. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. I want to give you just a little bit of thought here in this particular thing. We need and have always needed someone to stand in the gap on our behalf. We've always needed that. I can remember in school, in the first or second grade, my mouth would get me in trouble on a number of occasions. And I can remember there was an older kid who said something to me and my mouth could not keep silent. My brain thought things too, that my brain would try to write checks that it certainly couldn't cash. And I can remember saying to an older kid some things that I really should not have said. And I found myself in real trouble. I found myself in one of those situations where the older kid was like, I'll tell you what, kid, meet me behind the gym. Now, I don't know if you younger people know what that means, but it's trouble, okay? Back in the day, when someone said, meet me somewhere, that was trouble. And I can remember thinking, you know, I probably could have kept my mouth shut. I was getting nervous throughout the day, and I can remember having said something to my brother. And my brother went to a friend of his to say, man, I need you to help out, because if you don't help out, my brother might not come home. He's going to die. I want you to know that I didn't know that was going on. My brother was looking out for me, and I went behind the gym by myself, and here comes the guy that I'd spouted off to, and I was already thinking, okay, if I can get a good punch or two and run, I would be in good shape. But I knew I was in trouble. But here comes my brother with a kid that he had said, hey, I want you to help out my brother. And right there, at that very moment, I really needed representation. Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. I had written the check. I had said what should not have been said. I made claims that should not have been made. And what I would probably or likely have gotten behind the gym, I probably earned. But in that moment, there was somebody who was going to stand in the gap for me. I know that you think, gosh, that's a horrible story, Adam. Well, it is my life. That's my life. And I want you to know the same is true even before Christ. I said and did and participated in things that I just should not have. And I needed someone to stand in the gap on my behalf. I needed someone to step in for me. I needed someone to say that I will represent you. I will stand for you. And by the way, I've needed that representation even post my salvation. I don't know if we understand that together, but I am thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful that God represented me through Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that I have that forgiveness, but I definitely didn't need just representation back then. I need it right now. I need God to stand on my behalf. I need the people to stand on my behalf. We all need that. You want to know why? Because we have struggles. We have insecurities. We have things that push us to our limits. And every single one of us needs someone to stand in the gap on our behalf. Jesus stood in the gap on our behalf. Again, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What Jesus says in this particular place with the disciples is he says, I want this to be a representation, the bread to be a representation of my body. I want this wine to be a representation of my blood. I want you to know what it truly means to partake of me. Now, without getting too deep, I mean, I have limited time. I understand this. But what Jesus was really fulfilling is what happened in Exodus chapter 12, right? We understand that the Pharaoh had held the Jews captive, and we see the plagues on Egypt, and we find out that we understand that God is going to allow the angel of death really to pass by. And he said to the Jews, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take a spotless, a lamb that is not defective, and you're going to eat of that, you're going to partake of that, and you're going to take the blood, and you're going to spread it on the doorpost of your home. And if you do that, and if you are obedient, you do as I say, what will happen is I will spare your firstborn son and all of the firstborn animals. And so in Exodus chapter 12, what we see is those lambs having been eaten and slaughtered and the blood placed on the doorpost spared the firstborn of the house of those who were Jews. Those lambs were the substitutionary death for the firstborn. And while that is an incredible thing, when Christ comes and his blood is shed, and it's put on the doorpost really of our hearts, that blood is shed, he becomes the representation of that spotless lamb, a perfect high priest, and his blood being shed for us, his death isn't just substitutionary for an elect some. His death becomes substitutionary for all who would be part of the family of God, all those who would receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Again, we understand that just a few days before this meal, he is triumphantly coming in to the city. You can even hear it ringing out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Maybe I spend too much time thinking about this, but I can imagine all the people around, and Jesus comes and says he wants to have a meal with his disciples, and he has them prepare that. And they've been through this incredible high, and they all get together with Jesus. We're going to have dinner with Jesus, and it's just us. This is incredible. And Jesus is sharing something that I'm going to leave you. Not going to be here anymore. You can imagine kind of that high going, yeah, this is just awesome. What'd you say, Jesus? And then the disciples, they don't understand. They also, in this particular place, realize that one of them will betray Jesus. In just a little bit, they'll realize that one of them who has said, I will stand up for you no matter what, I'll stand in the gap no matter what, in just a few hours will say, I'm not with him. I'm not with him. And Jesus will say and remind them that this is my body and this is my blood poured out for you. We all need that representation. We all need deliverance, just like Israel received deliverance. We all need that redemption, this idea of the Lord's Supper redeeming us from the sins that we have. And then finally, the Lord's Supper is a reminder of recognition. The verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6 says it like this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." This idea of recognition is us identifying with Christ, and if we identify with Christ, we identify with one another. Folks, Christianity, in so many ways, even in America, is beginning to take a beating. We have those among us who are speaking up for the cause of Christ and really have no intention of fully living for Christ. We have those who have no idea what it would mean to be a part of a true family and to say, "I would stand in the gap for you." The best among us, and what I mean by that is those who've been believers a long time, those who seem to walk with Christ, those who seem to have no problems, no issues whatsoever, the best among us have real, real issues. But one of the problems with church today is that we all come into this place thinking that no one else here is like me. We have so many problems, so many issues, so many struggles, and everybody else has it together. And I just don't want to go and be with people who have it all together. Let me tell you something. None of us have it together. And the Pardue family is the chiefs of not having it together. Our staff will tell you, our families, we don't have it together. Our Bible study leaders will tell you, our family, we don't have it together. Our deacons, they'd probably stand up one by one. Now, they're not going to tell you everything they're doing, but they would say, we don't have it all together. But let me tell you, you can be made whole in Christ. You can be made pure in Christ. You can be made holy in Christ. You can be made right in Christ. And that's what we are speaking when we take the Lord's Supper together. We are remembering what he did on the cross. We are remembering that he defeated death. And we are remembering that he has been resurrected. The Lord's Supper is that symbol of resurrection. My family had this conversation 2 days ago. Please, please, please do not take offense to this. But we talked about the cross, we talked about the crucifix, we talked about the symbols of that death. And the struggle that I have, me personally, with all of those particular symbols is that Jesus Christ has won the victory against the cross. I celebrate what was done on the cross. I don't celebrate the cross. I celebrate a victory in resurrection. I celebrate the fact that, and we'll celebrate this even more next week, that if we were to go to a tomb, we'd find an empty tomb. I celebrate that all of that work that he did truly provided life for me. It truly provided real life for me. And it can be the same for you. Last thing I want to say, and I will close, is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that Paul, when he's talking to the church at Corinth, and he is... You want to talk about issues and problems, go and read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. We look at that church and we see all the issues that they had. And what Paul is saying is when you take of the Lord's Supper, when you eat the bread and you drink the cup, that you shouldn't do it in a manner that's unworthy. And what he was simply trying to communicate is this, that we should, in our hearts, confess and be right with the Lord. I want you to know that those who have professed Jesus have been made right with the Lord. But there are still times where we need to agree that there are areas in our lives that haven't been fully given to Jesus. And so this morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I mean, we're going to invite you to respond publicly as we always do. Maybe for some of you, responding publicly means taking that little piece of paper on our bulletin and filling out that information and giving that to someone at the door. That's certainly okay. But we also want this morning to be very heavy in self-reflection. For just a moment, let's not worry about who's on either side of us. But let's put ourselves in a situation where we can speak directly, because we can, to the Father. And let's reflect on what he's done for us. And let's reflect on, God, are there areas that I've just have not given over like I should have? And so when we come to the table together in just a moment, we'll do that in the best way we know how. So I'm going to pray. We'll have our time of invitation, reflection, response. And then in the middle of that, I'm going to ask us, and I'll lead this, I'll ask us to sit, and as our deacons will come forward, I'll ask you again to continue to reflect, because we do not take this supper lightly. We take it as a privilege, and we take it with the understanding of Christ doing the work in our lives. God, we pray even now that you would prepare us for the table. God, that you would help us understand who we are in you. That the scripture seems to be very clear that you will humble the proud and you will lift up those who are hurting. And God, we don't understand all that that means, but God, in this particular congregation, we know that this morning that there are those of us who need to be humbled. God, I pray that you would do that. And I also would completely realize and understand that there are those of us who need to be encouraged. We come into this place and we just feel absolutely defeated. And God, I pray in these moments that you would do the work, that we would really allow sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, and we would respond to you. So in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand together, Christians praying. If you want to make public a profession of faith in Christ, saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, we would certainly welcome you to do that this morning. If you've already done that and you still need to use this altar as a place of prayer and preparation, we would invite you to do that. This morning, if you want to join the church, you say, I want to identify with Christ, but I also want to identify with a group of believers who are pursuing Christ, we would invite you to do that publicly. However the Holy Spirit is leading, we would invite you to come. We'll sing, we'll pray, we'll reflect, and we'll do all these things for the glory of God.